Morning of today's Daf and Shabbos, Ayin Hey. We are on the bottom of Ayin Dalad Amud Beis. We are beginning this morning with HaKorei Manas Lit For. We are in the seventh parak of Shabbos. We are in the Sugya of Lamates Malachos. The Mishnah back on Ayin Gemomad Aleph taught us the 39 Malachos of Shabbos. We organize them into four different categories. 11 Malachos having to do with the baking of bread, 13 Malachos having to do with Begadim, 7 with the processing of hides, and another 7, which I organized as binyan, as having to do with building. And finally, the last malacha hutzah, carrying from one domain to another domain. These are the 39 malachas as articulated back on the Mishnah, and the Gemara has since gone over each of the malachas. A comment or two of the Gemara on each of the malachas. We spent a lot of time going over the malacha of Borer. That was in yesterday's Daf and Ayin Gimel. And the Gemara now is going to be commenting. As I pointed out, the Gemara is not commenting on each of the malachos. I didn't take a head count in terms of how many of the malachos ultimately the Gemara ends up counting, ends up commenting on. But whatever. The point is that the Gemara is going to make comments as necessary. With that stated, we are on the bottom of Ayin Dalamud Beis. And we are continuing with HaKorea. So one of the malachas is to tear. HaKorea amanas litzfor. It's not just tearing, but rather HaKorea amanas litzfor. It's tearing so that you can go ahead and you can stitch up the area. There are a couple malachas, just a general comment. There are a couple malachas that are destructive in nature. Now that seems out of place because, as we already pointed out, the malachas are not work. The malachas are creative activities. They're all there to be part of the creative process, the baking of bread, the making of clothing, the processing of hides, so the building of a building. They're all productive. So any of the quote-unquote destructive malachos are destructive so that I can construct. You look back in the Mishnah, you'll see that hamochek amanas lichtov. You're erasing so that you could write. And the one we're discussing right now, hakorea amanas litzfor. You're tearing so that you could restitch the area. So the Gemara's question is as follows: Kriya b'Mishkan mihave. Where is Kriya in the Mishkan? And again, one of the basic assumptions of the Gemara is that all the malachas are rooted in the Mishkan, right? That is the source of each of the malachas, is that they were part and parcel of binyan hamishkan, of putting together the Mishkan. So where do we find tearing in the Mishkan? So Rabba Rabbi Zera Dami Tarbayu. So the Gemara offers the pshat of Rabba and Rabbi Zera. As we now turn to the top of Ayin Hey Amud Aleph. So what happens if, let's say, there is a curtain that was used in the Mishkan, where there was a worm that went into the curtain, and the worm now started making a hole in the curtain, and so what you want to do now is you want to stitch it up, but you can't just simply stitch up that hole. What you want to do is you want to tear it a little bit more, so now you have a more even opening, and now v'tofrenosa, and now you're going to stitch it up. Good. Amar Marzucha Bartuvia Amar Rav. So the Gemara now is going to be quoting a statement, Bishem Rav. True of the matter is there are going to be three statements that we're going to see right now. The first one is related to our discussion. The two are not related to our discussion, but they're all said by the same Baal Memra. And the three statements go as follows. Number one, Hamosei Achud Shel Tfira B'Shabbos Chayev Chatas. Somebody who pulls on a string that was used for stitching on Shabbos, you're going to be Chayev Karban Chatas. Meaning, it was already stitched in, and the stitch got a little bit loose. So what you're going to do now is you're going to pull on the end of the stitching, and that's going to make the stitching just tighter, more taut. And in doing so, that is a violation of the malacha of tofer. That is an isur d'oraisa. You're going to be chayv a karban chatos if you do so. That's number one. Number two, alamei davar echa min amagush chayv misa. Somebody who learns even one thing from a magush is going to be chayv misa. Misa over here most probably does not mean capital punishment. It means misa b'dei shamayim. Meaning it is a very condemned act to learn anything from a magush. The obvious question is, what is a magush? So the Gemara is going to be debating that just momentarily. But right now, we'll suffice to just use a comment of Rashi right over here. Rashi says that a magush is min hamamshich l'avodah zara. So it's a heretic that is looking to pull people into avodah zara. And Rashi says over here, when the Gemara says you're not allowed to learn anything from him, Rashi says, afilu dvar Torah, asr lulmo mimenu. Meaning, don't say, well, I'm going to learn Torah from him, and that's positive. No. The point is that you're not allowed to learn anything from him. Number three, the third thing from Rav, Hayodeh Lachshev Tkufos Umazalos. Sorry. Hayodeh Lachshev Tkufos Umazalos. Somebody who knows how to calculate the constellations and the year. Ve'inu Choshev, and doesn't do so, meaning doesn't apply the knowledge. Also, Lasapra Yemen, you're not allowed to speak to him. The Gemara is now going to comment on two and three. The first is self-evident. The first point that Rav is making is that if you pull on the string and it makes the stitching tighter, so that is going to be the violation of Topher, even though you're not actually stitching. All you're doing is tightening the stitches, but that's the malach of Topher. It's pretty self-evident. The Gemara now is going to be commenting on two and three. The Gemara goes back to number two, Magushta. So what is a Magushta? And the way Rashi understands the Gemara's question over here is what in general throughout Shas is a Magushta? In other words, the Magushta comes up a number of times throughout Shas, and what is the definition? So we already saw Rashi giving us the definition of Min, but as we're about to learn right now, it's a Machlokas Amarayim. Rav Shmuel Chanamar Charshei V'Chanamar Gidufei. So it's a Machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. We don't know who says which position, but one of them says it's Charshei. Charshei, so it's a magician. And actually, if you think about the word Magosh, you can actually see the word magician within Magosh. So it sounds reasonable to suggest that the modern word magician probably is a derivative of the word Magosh. Not to say that definitionally they're the same, but according to one opinion, they are. V'chanamar gedufe. Now the other says that it's Megadev. Megadev, as we know throughout Chas, is somebody who blasphemes. And the Rashi's description over here of a gedufe is min ha'adukba avodah zarah. You have a heretic who just loves his idolatry. U'megadev tamidas Hashem. He curses Hashem at all times. U'mesis anashim la'avodah zarah. And what he does is he entices people to join him in his crusade of avodah zarah. Now the Gemara says Tesaim de Rav Damar Gedufi. Now it seems reasonable to suggest that Rav is the one that says that it's a Gedufi. Why? Because now we're going to go back and we're going to put these two pieces together. And that is, we just learned together Damar of Zosha Bar Tovi Amar Rav Alami Davar Echad Min HaMagosh Chayv Misa. So we just learned that if you learn anything from a Magosh, and as Rashi pointed out, even if it's Divrei Torah, so one is going to be subject to Misa, one should have nothing to do with this Magosh. It must be that we're talking about the Megadeth. In other words, his definition of the Magosh must be that he's a heretic. He's somebody who is in love with his Avodah Zarah and trying to entice people to join him in his Avodah Zarah. The Gemara says, because think of the alternative. Because if you think that Rav says that the Magosh is a magician, haksiv, learning from a magician is not chayiv misa. In fact, we're about to see together that learning from a magician under certain circumstances is what you're supposed to do. The pasuk says, lo soma lasos. The Torah says that you're not allowed to learn from him to replicate that which he does. But however, if you're a member of Sanhedrin, so you don't practice any magic, you don't practice any of the dark arts, but you have to know about it. You have to be familiar with it. You're going to try somebody for practicing kishuf, so you have to know what it is. So you have to be fluent in the topic. So you see clearly that learning from a magician, meaning not a heretic, but learning from a magician under certain circumstances, is encouraged. So we see over here that that Rav's definition of Magosh in this context, let's learn like Rashi. Throughout all of Shas, Rav's definition of a Magosh is that of a heretic, Tistayim. So the Gemara says fair. We can conclude. We're now going to return back to the subject of somebody who knows about how to intercalate, knows about the constellations, knows about the seasons, and he elects not to use that knowledge. So the Gemara now has the following to add to what we already said. We already said that the person who refuses to apply his knowledge, so nobody should be learning from him. The Gemara now adds, in the name of Bar Kapara, that we can apply the following pasuk. Ves Paul Hashem lo yabitu. He didn't look towards the work of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Uma ase yadav lo ra'u. And he wasn't being careful about seeing the creations of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Meaning that this person over here has some basic knowledge of the seasons, of the constellations, of how the months operate, and he doesn't apply this knowledge. So basically, it's a rejection of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Am Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmini, Am Rabbi Yochanan, Gminan Shemitzvah Al Adam L'Chashet Kufos Mazalos. How do I know that it is a mitzvah for a person to be familiar with the constellations, to be familiar with the years and the lunar months? And he should apply this now. Shenemar. The pasuk says, "Rishmatam vasitzem ki yichach masem uvinaschem le'inei ha'amim." So the pasuk says in the beginning of Sefer Devarim that this is your chachma and this is your bina, your wisdom, your insight in front of the nations. Ezi chachma bina she ki le'inei ha'amim ha've'amar zechishuv tkufas ha'mazalos. Where do we really show off to the nations of the world our intellect and our prowess over nature? That is as it relates to tkufas ha'mazalos, our understanding of the seasons. Rashi writes over here, le'inei ha'amim. How is it specifically showing the nations? Shechachma hanikeresi, because this is the kind of knowledge, this is the kind of information that is evident. Shemar lehem siman ledvarav, behila chachama mazalos, because if you're familiar with the path of the sun and the stars and the planets, shemi'inim kidvarav, meaning what you could do is you could forecast. We're not talking about forecasting anything bizarre. We're just talking about forecasting simple constellations, simple patterns. Shomer Shana Zegeshuma. You can forecast the upcoming season. V'ikain. Shana Zu Shechuna. V'ikain. So as you're forecasting the upcoming seasons, so you're going to really amaze other people. But you're not. It's not some sort of pseudoscience. It's just simply the understanding of constellations. Because as far as the sun is concerned, the sun operates on a pattern. And if we understand and learn the pattern as it goes through the constellations, so as we understand how the sun goes into the various constellations. So if you show this kind of understanding and insight to others, so it's a Kiddush Hashem. So the Gemara over here certainly sounds like this idea that knowing about the constellations and understanding it and showing it off to others, so the Gemara certainly sounds like it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah, essay, it's a positive commandment. It happens not to be counted. In the Rambam, the Sefer Chinuch has a formal mitzvah essay, but they would certainly agree that's a positive thing. The Gemara's language over here of mitzvah could just simply mean that it is something that is productive and positive. Doesn't have to be a formal mitzvah per se. It seems like it. I didn't look it up, but it seems like the smog actually counts this as one of the mitzvahs of the Torah. Hatzad Tzvi, we are continuing now in the Gemara. We're in the middle of Ayin Hey Amud Aleph, and we are now up to the discussion of the Gemara regarding trapping. Trapping one of the 39 malachos. It is involved in the processing of the hide. So if you need a hide, so obviously you're going to first need an animal. But trapping is not going to be a malacha just if you trap for the purposes of getting a hide. As we're going to learn right now, as long as you're trapping the animal and that animal has benefit to you, so that would be the malacha of tzeda. Just as an example, by the way, just use this as an example. If let's say you're trapping an animal because you don't want it to harm you, that would be a definition of malacha shein tzrich legufa, meaning that I'm doing the act of trapping, but I'm doing so not because I want the positive benefit of the act, but because I just simply don't want it to bother me. I'm avoiding a negative consequence. So that would be an example of malacha shein tzrich legufa. So, but over here, as we're going to discuss in the Gemara, we're talking now about trapping for the positive nature, because I want what gets into the trap. So this is a violation of seida, and we're going to now discuss it in the context of chilazon. Chilazon is the either fish or snail that is used for its blood. Its blood is going to be applied towards the dye in order to create the blue dye that we're going to be dyeing the wool. Used by the Kohanim, used in the Mitzvah Tzitzis. It has for centuries been a forgotten art. It has been recently revigorated as, when I say recently, by the way, it's not just in the last 20, 30 years, but for the last over 100 years, there are those who have been researching exactly what the chilazon is, trying to properly identify which of the animals it is, how exactly to process the blood that comes out of it in order to make the dye, and many are of the belief that we have found it once again. In the meantime, however, we are discussing trapping the chilazon, Tan Rabbanan, Atzad chilazon. So if you trap the chilazon, v'hapotz'o, and you open it up in order to extract the blood, Eino chayv ela acha. So according to the Tanakhama of the Braisa, that is one violation. That's one Chilul Shabbos. Which one? So the answer is obviously Tzeda. The question, of course, is going to be, what about the fact that as you now open it up in order to extract the blood, it's going to die? So the Gemara is going to ask that question, so let's wait just a moment. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Chayv Shtayim. Rabbi Yehuda says you're going to be Chayv Tu Malacha Shai Rabbi Yehuda Omer Petziah Bechlal Disha. That when it comes to Petziah, what Malacha did you violate? So if we all had a guess, we probably would have guessed wrong, or at least I would have guessed wrong. So I would have said that if you're extracting the blood from the Chilazon, so you're killing the animal, and therefore you're involved in the Malacha of Netilas Neshama. That's not what Rabbi Yehuda says. What Rabbi Yehuda says is that it's a subcategory of the Malacha of Disha. Disha is where you divest an item from its outer shell. So that means to say that when you take the kernel and you remove the outer shell from the kernel, so that is dush, that's threshing, the act of threshing. So over here, when you are removing the blood, so you're taking the interior from the away from its shell. And that also is an act of disha. And so according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's going to be an act of disha, and amar lo ein petziah b'chal disha. And the Chachamim simply respond to Rabbi Yehuda saying that petziah, that cracking open the chilazon and getting the blood out of the chilazon, that is not going to be a subcategory of disha. Now, why that is? It could be that this is not clear. Not clear in the Gemara. Why exactly this wouldn't follow as disha? But the Gemara actually responds to this very question. Amar Rava my time in the Rabbanan. What is behind the shita of the Rechachamim? Kesavri in disha ela gedule karka. Then when it comes to Disha only applies to those things which grow out of the ground. And so therefore the Chilazon is not growing out of the ground. It's in the water. And as a result of that, it is not subject to the Malacha of Disha. This idea that Disha only applies to Gedule Karka, we saw that also, but this application that only that something is only a Malacha by Gedule Karka is very limited. Okay, I'll come back to it. In terms of where else the Gemara uses limitation, that only applies to Gedule Karka. Okay. In the meantime, however, v'lechayv nami mishum netilas neshama. Okay, the question, and that is fine. So when one traps the chilazon and one then extracts the blood from the chilazon, so we are open for a discussion, a debate in terms of how many malachas one violates. Either it's going to be the malacha of tzad. Sorry. Everyone agrees that's going to be the malacha of tzad, of trapping. And the only question is that whether or not to add on to that the malacha of disha, a machlokes atanayim. The Gemara's question now is very straightforward and very basic. Well, why aren't you chayv for netilas neshama? If you're opening up the chilazon, a live animal, a fish or a snail, if you open it up and you extract the blood, it's going to die. And as a result of that, that should be now violating the malacha of netilas neshama, which is one of the malachas of Shabbos. Shechita, as we're going to discuss in more detail in just a moment, is one of the malachas of Shabbos. So why isn't one also in violation of Shechita? I'm Rav Yochanan Shapatzo Mace. So Rav Yochanan says, well, maybe we're discussing a case over here where it already is dead. And what we're doing now is you trapped it, it died already, and it was, or maybe we could argue that it was caught while it was already dead, and now I'm just simply squeezing out the blood after it died. And therefore, we avoid the whole discussion of why aren't you also in violation of Netilas Neshama. Rava Amar Afilu Tamei Shepatzu Chai. Rava says, no, it could very well be that we opened it up even while the snail is alive. And why aren't you involved? Why aren't you violating the Malacha of Netilas Neshama? Misasek hu eitzol Netilas Neshama. Because you are a misasek as it relates to killing the animal. Now, the word misasik over here is a borrowed term. The word misasik over here does not mean what we discussed just a couple of days ago. In the Gemara, back on Daf Ayin, back on Daf Ayin Beis Amud Beis and the top of Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, so we discussed extensively the topic of misasik. Misasik is where I did something, but I wasn't completely in control or aware of my actions that I did. In other words, I made a mistake in my actions. That's misasik, as we discussed it just a couple of days ago. That's not what the term means over here. Misasek over here means, Tosos says this clearly, Tosos, Divra Amaschal Misasek, that Misasek over here means that Davashina Miskaving, meaning it was an unintended consequence. Meaning right now we're just trying to extract the blood out of the chila zone because we need the dye. We need the blood in order to create the dye. And the fact that the animal is going to die, okay, I understand, it's slightly confusing, but the fact that the animal is going to die, that is an unintended consequence. Now, I know what everyone's thinking, which is going to be the Gemara's next question. Yeah, but Abai and Rabbi both say, okay, fine, it's an unintended consequence, and it's a davishin and miskaven. But it is, of course, inevitable. If you extract the blood from the chilazon, so its death is going to be inevitable. And the Gemara's question now is, this is psik resha. This is, in fact, the definition of psik resha, where even though it's an unintended consequence, but nevertheless, it is inevitable, its inevitability is going to dictate that I can't call this unintended if I know it's for sure going to happen. And so the Gemara says, and we all, and everyone's in agreement, Abai and Rava say this throughout the Masechta. We're going to hear this multiple times in our Masechta. That when it comes to a psik resha, Rabbi Shimon, who normally is makel by a davashin and miskaven, over here is going to agree that we're that it now becomes an iser daraisa. So over here, how could it be that removing the blood from the chilazon is going to be okay, considering the fact that it's a psik resha? Gemara's answer is as follows: Shani Hach, it's different over here. Dekama di is be neshama tfei nichale ki heche de leitzol tzivei. So the Gemara says, well, we don't want it to die. Meaning, as long as the chilazon is alive, so it's going to yield a better blood. It is going to be better for the chilazon. It's going to be a better hue, a better coloration for the dyeing that it's going to produce. So we want it to remain alive as long as possible. We don't want it to die even as the blood is being extracted. Okay. Now, as much as the Gemara is answering the question, so we need to understand the Gemara's response to the question. The question is, it's a davashin and miskaven, but it's a psik resha, and therefore it should be prohibited, and therefore one should be in violation of the malachim tilas hashama. The Gemara's answer is, yeah, but you didn't want it to die. Okay, that's very nice, you didn't want it to die. But ultimately, when all is said and done, it's going to die. How is this answering the question? So Rashi over here writes as follows, Tfei nichalei. I'm reading the Rashi inside. Shedam achai tov midam ames. So the blood of a live chilazon is better than the blood of a dead chilazon. V'kemen dechol asma miskaven v'tarech l'shamro shelo yamuz biyado. And really, what you're trying to do is keep it alive as long as possible. Afilu mes, so that even when it does die, ein kan ela misasek. So all you have over here is what's called misasek. Again, the term that's being used over here is not the same as we discussed just a couple days ago. When is Rabbi Shimon going to say that it's an iser daraisa by psik resha? That's something where it doesn't bother you one way or another. Meaning the secondary consequence, the fact that it happens, okay, so it happens. So delo ichbale im isrami. It doesn't bother you whether or not it is actually going to result. It just happens to be that wasn't your kavana. But over here, it's more than it doesn't bother you, just the opposite. You don't want it to die. And this is what we would describe in halacha as a psik resha, delo nichale. This is a secondary consequence, but it's one that you don't want. And since it's one that you don't want, it's a psik resha, delo nichale. So therefore, it does not violate the malacha. Rabbi Shimon would say that a psik resha delo nichale is going to not be a malacha. Okay. And so what we're really touching on over here in the Gemara is a very major discussion. We've had a number of times throughout Shas. We discussed it towards the beginning of Ksuvos, and we're discussing here as well, is that when I have a psik resha, when I have a secondary consequence that comes from my primary action, primarily, all I'm interested in doing is getting the blood out. Secondarily, it happens to be that the animal is going to die. Now, but it's going to be inevitable. And when we say that there's a secondary consequence of inevitability, but we're also saying that that secondary consequence is something that I don't want, so by psik resha, delo nichale, certainly sounds like the way Rashi set it up, So Rashi would say that it would be mutter. Now, I'm going to be perfectly fair. Even though I say that, you can't really say that over here in Rashi over here. Because remember, the Gemara's discussion is, why isn't Netilas Neshama listed as a malacha? And the Gemara gave the following as an explanation. So at best, what we really can say from our Gemara, not that it's mutter, but just simply, it doesn't violate the malacha. I don't think it's fair to conclude that based on this sugya by itself, one would therefore say or suggest that it would be mutter legamre. The best thing we could say from our Gemara is that just simply, it doesn't violate the malacha. The entire presentation that I just gave is all Rashi. It happens to be that Tosfos takes us down a totally different path in terms of how to understand the Gemara's answer. And so for more discussion on this topic, you'd see Tosfos. I'm not going to go through Tosfos right now, but you could see Tosfos Divra Masko Kihecha Deleitzel Tziv A. You can even back up to the previous Tosfos. Tvei Nichele Kihecha Deleitzel Tziv A. So you can see Tosfos where he takes the Gemara down a different path. Anyway, we continue in the Gemara. We're up to the bottom of Ein Hamad Aleph. Hashochto. The Gemara now turns its attention to the Malacha of Shechita. Shachat Mishum Mai. The Gemara's question, slightly cryptic. The Gemara wants to know, why is one violating a Malacha when one does Shechita? Now, that is a strange question because it's one of the 39 Malachas. The Mishnah 9 Gimel lists it as one of the Malachos. It's part of the section of hides. The Gemara's question, as understood by Rashi, goes as follows. You can see the Rashi, bottom Rashi on the Amud. Shochi Mishumai Mechayev. So Rashi explains, Shechita b'melechas ha-mishkan hecha. Where was Shechita in the melechas ha-mishkan? Umay avidate. Ime oros elim adamim. So the Gemara, as Rashi understands it, is that, look, let's say, oh, but wait one second. I need the hides of the ram. Remember, the covering of the mishkan is made up of the hides of the ram. And we need, therefore, to shech the rams. So Rashi points out, Lama li bahu shechita? Bechanika namisagi. So the way Rashi understands the Gemara's question is, yeah, but you didn't have to shech the ram. We're not talking about eating the rams. Remember, according to Rashi, and this has been a consistent position of Rashi throughout our entire sugya, that the malachas over here are not predicated on the operation of the mishkan. The malachas over here are predicated on the building of the mishkan. So over here, I do need rams, but not as a carbon. I need rams in order to for the hides for the top of the mishkan. You didn't need to shech the rams. What you could have done simply is you could have you could kill the ram in any way, in any manner feasible, and you could just take the hides from there. Okay, so the question now becomes, fine. So what exactly, if we now distill the malacha of shechita, so what is one actually violating when doing the malacha of shechita? So, Mishum Mai Mechayev. That's the way Rashi understands it. You can see the Bam Tosfos over here, where he has a different approach in terms of how to understand the Gemara's question, but this morning, I'll just present Rashi. So, Rav Amar Mishum Tzoveya, Shmuel Amar Mishum Netilas Neshama. So, Rav says that the malacha that one violates is the malacha of Tzoveya. You are coloring. We're going to explain that better in just a moment. Shmuel says Netilas Neshama. No, well, then what you're doing is you're taking a life. And the malacha of Shechita, when distilled, when described, when giving better definition, is that Shechita is a violation to Netilas Neshama, which, of course, relates to the Gemara's discussion that we just had a moment earlier regarding the Chilazon. If you're extracting the blood from the Chilazon, obviously you're going to kill the animal, and why aren't you violating the Malacha of Netilas Neshama, which is the Malacha of Shechita? So, the Gemara's question is very simple. Rav says that it's Mishum Tzoveya. Even before understanding what exactly the Tzviya is, what are we discoloring? But when all said and done, Mishum Tzoveya, Mishum Tilas Neshama Lo, as we are now on the top of the Amud Beis, I don't understand. According to Rav, he doesn't agree that it's Netilas Neshama. Of course it's Netilas Neshama. Ema Af Mishum Tzoveya. So Rav says, of course I agree that it's Netilas Neshama. I'm adding to the definition. Not only is it Netilas Neshama, it's also Tzoveya as well. Am Rav Milsa Damri, Ema Ba Milsa. So Rav says, I know that my statement needs clarification. And let me say something about what I just said. The Lalaisi Dara Basrai V'lichla Lai. Because if I just left that unexplained, and all I said is that if you shech, you're violating Tzoveya, so I know what's going to happen. Later generations are going to hear that. They're not going to understand that. And they're going to make fun of that statement. So, he says, it's time for a clarification. Tzoveya b'may nichalei, nicha delitves beis ha-shechita, Dama, ki hecha delechzei inche, v'leisi ulizba neminei. The reason why one violates the malacha of Soveya is because here's what you want. When you are shechting the animal, you want the blood to go onto the neck of the animal. You want people to see that there is fresh blood on the neck of the animal. That is something that you're interested in. Why? So that people will see it. People will realize that this is freshly shechted, and then people will buy it. If it's something where it's not clear when it was shechted, could have been shechted today, could have been shechted yesterday. And remember, their expiration dates were really quick. So people are not going to be super interested in buying it if they don't know for sure that it was freshly shechted. So therefore, you want the blood to go on the neck of the animal, along the hide of the neck of the animal, so that people will see it, instantly realize this was shechted recently, and therefore be interested in buying it. And that's why it is also a malacha of Soveya. Continuing the Gemara, Hamocha v'Hama Avdo, salting the hides, processing the hides. And these are two of the malachas that are involved in the process of making hides. So, Haina Malach, Haina Ma'ave, but the Gemara says, but I don't understand. They're really the same thing. Meaning salting is processing. So, Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, Amit Havayo, Afik Chad Minayo. So, Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish said the following. Here's what we're going to have to do in the Mishnah. And it is going to be really the only editing of the Mishnah. And that is that we're going to take Ma'abed and Mocho, and we're going to consolidate that to one Malacha. And that obviously now results in, there are now only 38 Malachas. But we know 39 is an absolute. So the Gemara says, Va'ayu Sirtet. So what you're going to do now is that you're going to fit into the Mishnah the Malacha of Sirtet. Sirtet, that's the scoring. When you have a hide and you're going to be writing on the hide, in this case, remember, we are cutting the hides. So before cutting the hides, so what you're going to do is you're going to mark the place in which you're going to cut. And as a result of that, that would be the malacha of sirtut. Amar Rava Baravuna Haimanda Malach Bisra Chai Mishuma Abe. Rava Baravuna says that one who salts meat is going to be subject to the malacha of ibud. Now Rava Amar Ein Ibud Ba'ochlin, Rava says, no way. In other words, the ibud that we discussed just moments ago, that's talking about the processing of the hides. There is no malacha of ibud as it relates to food. Amar avashi ve'afilu rabba revhuna lo amar ela deka vayle le'orcha. Ava lebesa lo mashe inish michle eitz. Now, Rav Ashi explains, even the position of Rava Baravuna says that when you salt meat, you violate the malacha of ibud, of being moleach. He didn't mean salting for taste. Meaning even his position was, we're talking about where you're salting the food for preservation. Right? Back in the day where there was no refrigeration, which is the majority of human history. So back in the day when there was no refrigeration, so how did you keep your meat after you shechted the animal? So you salted it, and you applied a good amount of salt in order so that it preserved. That is what he meant when he said that salting is a violation of the malacha. But if all you're doing is just salting to taste, even he's of the opinion that that would be fine. Hamemacho v'hamechadcho. We're up to now the cutting of the hides. So you're smoothing it, that's mochek, and mechadcho is cutting it. Am Rabbi Acha bar Chanina, hashaf bin hamudim. Now, it's not perfectly clear exactly what the Gemara is describing right now, hashaf bin hamudim. I'll work with Rashi's pshat. Rashi says that we're talking about the pillars out in the achsadros, in the pavilions. They had large gaps in between the pillars, and there were these pillars that were obviously creating these gaps between the pillars. So you had earth over there that was smoothed down, and so that's the way Rashi describes it. Now it is a little bit curious, because if you're smoothing the ground in between the pillars, so shouldn't we be talking about the malacha of bona? So I'm asking this question. And so that's why I'm a little bit confused by Rashi. But anyway, that's the way Rashi seems to present it. So if we were to smooth down this area, so one would be in violation of the malacha of memachek. Three things that were told to me from Rav Ashi, or probably Rav Asi, in the name of Rav Yeshua ben Levi. Number one, Hamagara Rashi Klunsus b'Shabbos Chayv Mishum Mechatech. If, let's say, the tops of the sticks, you smooth them down, or you're sharpening them, so that would be the malacha of mechatech. Mechatech, when you want something cut to a specific length, so that's mechatech. Number two, I'm a marech retia b'shabes echay mishum amachek. You take a bandage, it has ointment on it, and you're basically rubbing the bandage into your skin with the ointment. So that is, we're talking about a very thick ointment. So that is the malacha of memachik. That's smoothing. And finally, number three, I'm a sasa sasavim b'shabes chayv mishum makeh bepatish. Let's say the stone was already quarried, and now what you're doing is you're shaping the stone. So that's makeh bepatish. That's putting the final touch on the stone. I'm Rabbi Shimon ben Kismi. I'm Rabbi Shimon malakish hatsar tsura b'kli. Somebody who makes a design within a kli, v'hamenafech b'kli zechuchis, or blowing glass, chayv mishum makeh bepatish. That's putting the final blow on the item, and that's the malacha of makeh bepatish. I'm Rav Yehuda Haiman Deshakel Akufei Miglima Echayev Mishum Makeh Bepatish. Let's say somebody who is removing the loose strands of the shirt. Rashi Deshakel Akufei. Rashi describes, I'm reading the Rashi, Rashi Chutin Natulim B'Yiriya. Let's say there are the loose strings at the end of a curtain. B'makum Kishurim Kishinitek B'chut B'kashrao V'chein Kashin V'ksamim Dakim Shine'er Gubo. Or let's say in the weaving process there were some foreign matters, some little bits of wood that get in below miskaven v'nodlin asomimena la'achariga. So and it's already woven, and all you're doing now is just either taking out the loose strands or you're taking out the small little pieces of wood. So this is also going to be considered the violation of makeh bepatish. That's the final touch. And Rashi, I'm sorry, and back to the Gemara, Vahanimili, just one provision of the Gemara, Vahanimili dekapit alayu, that's only if you're makpid. That's only if there's something that really bothers you. Now, if you're removing it, it sounds pretty clear that it really bothers you. But okay, Hakosef Shtei Osios, we're up to, now we're rounding down to the last of the Malachos, and we're talking about Ksiva, we're talking about writing. The Gemara makes only a short comment over here. Tana Rabbanan Kasav Os Achas Gedola V'Yesh B'Mkom L'Chtov Shtayim Pater. If let's say you write a big letter, now in that area in which you wrote, it could have been that you wrote two letters, but you decided to write one letter, so that's Pater Aval Aser. One did not violate the Malacha, because the Malacha of Tziva requires that you write two letters. And even though you wrote a big letter, and even though that area would have been sufficient to write two letters, nevertheless, you have to write two letters in order to violate the Malacha. Machach Es Os Gedola V'Yesh B'Mkom L'Chtov Shtayim Chayev. Now here, let's go with mechika, erasing. You're erasing a letter in order so that you could be able to write letter. Now it happens to be that the letter you erased happened to have been a very large font, in which now you could write two letters in that area. There you're going to be chayiv. So when it comes to erasing, the erasing doesn't require that you have to erase two letters. As long as you erase a letter where there's room enough to write two letters, then you're going to be chayiv. I'm Rabbi Menachem Rabbi Yosef Bezechomer Bemochik Be Mi Bekosev. And what have we just discovered? A chumrah by the malacha of mochek. Mochek has a stringency as we just articulated. The Gemara goes over the last of the malachos. And Rabba Virazir Vidarmin Tavai Kolmid Dispe Gemar Malacha Chaim Mishum Makeh Bepatish. And so Rabba and Rabbi Zera give us a general rule that anything that has a finishing touch to it, and you make the finishing touch, so one is going to be subject to makeh bepatish. Elu avos malachos. These are the avos malachos. And so now we're rounding down. So we go now to the end of the Mishnah after the Gemara has now gone through an assortment of the malachos in the Mishnah. Not everyone, but my best guess would be the majority of the malachos were commented on in the Gemara. So now the Gemara is just winding down to the last lines of the Mishnah. And that is, Hare Elu Avos Malachos Arba'im Chaser Achas. The word Elu, that is used deliberately. And the Gemara wants to know, why did the Mishnah use the word Elu? Elu Lafukim Ed Rav Lazar Demechai Val Tolda Mamakomav. So the word Elu is coming to teach us that one is only going to max out at 39 Chiyuve Karban Chatas. Meaning, like we already said at the beginning of the Sugya, but here we get to reiterate, and we're going to contrast the position of Rebbe Lazar. If a person violated as many malachos, or let's go all the way. If a person violated all the malachos on Shabbos, he's not going to be bringing more than 39 karbanos. Why? Because as many malachos as there are, and as many tolados as there are, in terms of categorization, if one violates an av and its tolda, behelam echad, so you're only going to be bringing one karban. So there are 39 avos. And there are countless toldos in each one of the avos. I already quoted the Yerushalmi before. Yerushalmi says, the Babli doesn't comment how many toldos there are within each av. We're going to see throughout the Masechta that the Gemara is going to comment. This is a tolada of this, and this is a tolada of this, but there is no listing of the toldos. The Yerushalmi says that each one of the avos has 39 toldos within it. I don't think the Yerushalmi ends up counting each of the 39 toldos within each av, but in other words, but the total number now, according to the Yerushalmi, is going to be 39 squared. But anyway, but if one were to violate an av and it's tolda, so the halacha is that you're only going to be chayav one carbon chatas. However, the shita of Rabbi Eliezer that we saw in the very beginning of Masechta Baba Kama is that Rabbi Eliezer says that you're going to be bringing a carbon chatas for an av and its tolada. If a person violated an av and a tolda and its tolda, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you're going to be chayav now two carbonos. So that means to say that our Mishnah is not subscribing to the shita of Rabbi Eliezer because our Mishnah maxes out at 39. Our Mishnah is of the opinion that you can't bring more than 39, because our Mishnah does not subscribe to the Shita Rabbi Eliezer. Chasar Achas, continuing in the Gemara, Lafukim and Rabbi Yehuda, Detanya Rabbi Yehuda, Mosif, Es HaShove, Ve'hamidaktik. So Rabbi Yehuda adds two malachas. And by virtue of the fact that our Mishnah says that there are only 39 malachos, it means to exclude ourselves from the position of Rabbi Yehuda. He says, Shovet Medaktik. Shovet Medaktik are involved in the processes of weaving. You can see Rashi for a description of what they are. Amrulo, they say to Rabbi Yehuda, Shovet Haroi Bechla Mesach. Shovet is already incorporated in the Malach of Mesach. And Medaktik Haroi Bechla Oreg. And Medaktik is just simply part of the weaving process. So the Chachamim just simply file each of these acts within an already given Malacha. So in other words, you don't have to add categories. And it sounds like from Rabbi Yehuda there are more than 39. We already entertain the idea that there could be Tanayim who maintain that there are more than 39 malachos. But within our Mishnah, and the Shita within our Mishnah, there are only 39 malachos, and Medaktik and Shovet are just simply incorporated within the already existing malachos. Let's continue in the Gemara. We're up to the Mishnah. As we now go through our next big rule, the Od Klal Acher Amru. Another general rule that says, Kol HaKashel Atznia. Anything that is fit to be stored. And Rashi over here says that basically the item in which we're describing, this is a general idea. The item in which we're describing has sarich adam. It has utility for people. Umatsnin kamohu. And how much of it does a person store? This amount. Meaning we're talking about a shear. Vehotzio b'shabbos. And now, so we're talking about something of an item, any item, of function. And it's the amount that people normally store. And then you take this amount and you go out with it on Shabbos, chayv chatas alav. So now, because the item has utility, and also this is the amount that people generally make usage of, so then one is violating for carrying on Shabbos. V'chol she'enu kashal atzniyam, ve'en matzniyam kamo'u, v'otziyu b'shabbos enu chayv ela ha'matzniyam. Now let's say that the average person would not be transporting this much of this particular item. And the average person would not consider this to be significant enough to in order to be matzniyah in order to store it. And so for the average person who carries this on Shabbos, he's not violating the malacha of otzah because it's not the requisite amount. However, let's say you have somebody who feels that even though it's not significant for the average person, for him it is. So for that individual, he would be chayiv. Okay? So I know that's a lot of generality, but that's exactly the point of the Mishnah, that this is a general idea. And the Gemara now is going to make quick comments on our Mishnah. Kol HaKashel Atznia LaAfuke Mai Rapapa Amar LaAfuke Dam. Now we said Kashel Atznia, it has to have functionality. What functionality are we talking about? Meaning, or better stated, what are we excluding? What's the Mishnah coming to exclude? So it's coming to exclude Dam Nida. Mar Ukva Amar Afil, LaAfuke Atze Asherah. And according to Mar Ukva, it's coming to exclude Atze Asherah, the wood that comes from an Asherah tree. Now, wood that comes from an Asherah tree is Asur Ba'anam. Not only that, explains Rashi over here, you have an obligation to destroy it. So that really is useless. It's something. If something's Asur Ba'anam, obviously it's useless. Dam Nida, on the other hand, is also useless. Now, I know it provides information, meaning, but we're not describing it as a means of giving us information about the woman who discharged it. We're talking about the actual blood itself and the utility of the blood itself. Now, as far as the utility of the blood itself, so for the most part, it's useless. So, mandam damnida kol shekein atzei ashera. Now, if damnida is something which is considered useless, so for sure, atzei ashera, which is aser behana, for sure is going to be considered useless. But mandam atzei ashera aval damnida matzein le lishunra. Now, if you are subscribing to the position that a useless item is something like atzei ashera, you may argue that damnida has some utility. What utility does it have? You can feed it to your cat. Doesn't sound like the most exciting diet, but you can feed it to your cat. Now, the other position, meaning that of Rav Papa, is of the position that you're going to feed it to your cat, but your cat, even though he may enjoy it, it's going to weaken your cat, and you're really not that interested in giving this over to your cat. I'm Rav Yosef Rav Chanina, Hadalok Rabbi Shimon. Now, our Mishnah is not subscribing to the Shita Rabbi Shimon, the Ikra Rabbi Shimon, Nahamar, Lo Amr Kol Ashirim Halalu El Lamatzni Ahem. The Shita of Rabbi Shimon is that if as long as it is something that is used by the average person, so then anybody who carries it is going to be Chayav. That's our Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon says no. Rabbi Shimon says, in terms of amounts, amounts are always going to be matched, tailor-made, to the person. So that means to say, as Rashi explains over here, is that let's say you have a person who is affluent, and for him, even though for the average person this would be considered a good amount, for the affluent person, he's not going to bother carrying that amount. So according to Rabbi Shimon, that person would not be chayev for carrying the average amount. Our Mishnah disagrees. Our Mishnah says that once you've hit the threshold of this is what the average person would be considered significant, so then it is going to be a malacha votza'a for everybody. And then finally, because she'enu kasha latznia. And then finally, the last point that we made in the Mishnah is that if something is not a significant amount, so then the only person who's going to be chai for carrying it is only for the person who thinks that it's a significant amount. I'm Rabbi Lazar, as we now turn to the top of Ayin Vav Amud Aleph. Am Rav Elazar had lo k'Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Our Mishnah is not subscribing to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. The Tanya Klal Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Kol Sheinu Kasha Latzniyah Ve'Ein Matzniin Kamau V'Huchshu Zev V'Hitzniyah Uva Acher V'Hotziyah Nischayev Zev B'Machshav Shal Zev. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar has a position in which intent can be transferred from one to another in this specific situation. Let's say you have something where it doesn't meet the average person's threshold. It is eino kasha latznia ve'ein matznia kamo. It just generally speaking is not the average amount. However, there is a person who for him this is significant, and so therefore he's going to be storing this amount even though it's less than significant. Somebody else comes along from him, takes it from him, and carries it. So nischayev zeh b'machshav shel zeh. The person who carried it is going to be chayev because he took it from somebody who thought it was significant. Okay, so this idea that significance can be transferred from one person to another, that's the shita of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, that's not our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is of the opinion that in order for a person to be chayev, it has to hit the minimum average threshold of what a person considers to be significant. And even though somebody else may value it, even if it's less than threshold, that's not going to affect or influence your definition, your parameter. You're only going to be chayev when it is the average, when it only hits the average threshold. Let's quickly recap and review today's daf. We started off this morning discussing the malachas of korea, of tearing. Where was it located in the Mishkan? Answer is that if a worm affected any one of the curtains, so they would tear it, and then in order to restitch it. The Gemara continued its discussion regarding not only the malacha of tfira, but even tightening the stitch. That also is going to be the malacha of tfira as well. Incidentally, the Gemara discussed the issues of learning from a magosh, defining what a magosh is, the importance and significance of learning about Rosh Chodesh, lunar calendar, constellations, natural sciences in general, but specific to the idea that if one is familiar with the seasons and constellations, so that is a chachma that we have. And as Rashi explained this morning, It is meant to be an Or LaGoyim. We are meant to be a light to the nations and to show others the Chachmas HaTorah. We moved on in our discussion today regarding Tzad, to the Melech of Tzeda, of trapping. If one were to trap the Chilazon in order to get the blood from the Chilazon, in order to create the dye for the Tcheles, so one is going to be violating the Melech of Tzeda. That part is clear. How about being a Chayv on the Melech of Disha, subject to a Machlokes HaTanayim? What about Netilas Neshama? What about the fact that you're killing it as you're extracting the blood? So the Amoraim deal with that question. Rav Yochanan's answer is that the Chilazon was already dead, and so therefore there is no violation of Tilas Neshama. Rava gives a really interesting answer, and that is, you don't want the Chilazon to die, and therefore it doesn't violate the Malachim of Tilas Neshama. It's a Psik Resha. The Gemara says, yeah, but you didn't want it to die, and therefore that somehow counteracts the idea that it's a Psik Resha. How does it counteract it? So this morning I presented Rashi. And I'm only sharing part of the story, because Rashi is only one way to explain the Gemara. There are other ways to explain the Gemara, but Rashi this morning taught us that it's a psik resha de lo nichale, and therefore one is not going to be chayv on the malacha of Netilas Neshama. When you shech, which is one of the 39 malachas, where do we see that in the Mishkan? That was the Gemara's question. And the Gemara's answer is that when you shech, you're violating the malacha of Netilas Neshama. And the way Rashi presented the Gemara's question is that if all we're doing is just simply getting the hides of the animal, well, you don't have to shech the animal. You could just simply kill the animal. So effectively, the malacha is not shechting per se, it's killing. What is that malacha? So Shmuel's position is netilas neshama, meaning the malacha is taking a life. That's the malacha. Rav is of the opinion Soveya, and Rav explained what exactly is the Soveya aspect of Shechita. We explained that this morning. And then we finished off with the Amud Beis by going over various other malachas. We touched on the malachas of memachek. I'm sorry, mochav ha-me'abed, salting and processing, which the Gemara admitted really should be consolidated into one malacha. And then what we did in the Mishnah is we added another malacha in the Mishnah after consolidating, so the number remains the 39. So mocho and ma'abed are really one. Sirtut is the one that we introduced this morning as really the 39th malacha. Memacho, mechatcho, we talked about various malachas that are involved in measuring, cutting. The Gemara gave numerous examples of makid, the patish, of putting in the final blow. The Gemara touched on the topic of ksiva, a chomer that you have by mochek over that of kosev. By mochek, if you erase a letter, a space large enough where you can write two letters, you violate the malacha. But by kosev, you actually have to write two letters, regardless of how big a font it is. The Gemara then finished up with why the Mishnah used the word Elu. These, meaning our Mishnah does not subscribe to the Shita Rebbe Elazar, that he says that you're chayv both on the Av and on the Tolada. You're chayv the carbon in each. Our Mishnah does not subscribe to that viewpoint. And finally, when the Mishnah says these are 39, and that comes to exclude the Shita of Rebbe Yehuda, who actually is of the opinion that there should be two more malachas added to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah caps it at 39. And finally, the last thing that we covered this morning was the next general principle of the Mishnah here in the 7th Perek, the idea that in order to be chayv on the malacha of Hotza'ah, so one is only going to be chayv on the malacha of Hotza'ah if you carry something which has functional use for humans, and it is an amount that people normally store. It is a significant amount that people normally store. It has to hit the average threshold. If it is anything less than the average threshold, so the person carrying it is not in violation of the Malach of Otsam in a Torah. If there is a person who feels it's super significant and carries that small amount, for him, he's going to be chayv. But for the average person, he's not going to be chayv. And then the Gemara points out that our Mishnah is excluding itself from the Shita of Rabbi Shimon and the Shita of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. We'll stop over here.